You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February 21st, and Pistons basketball is back tomorrow night, so we will finally have some more action to talk about. But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Going to open up the Reddit mailbag today and also some 2004 talk that I always know you guys appreciate as well. Today we are going to have some news about Ben Wallace and also about Detroiter and former Piston Chris Webber from last week. I'm going to discuss the particulars as we go forward. But that also got me thinking, went down a basketball reference wormhole, and just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tracy McGrady All-Stars, as I feel like Chris Webber's a member of that team too. I think we've touched upon this topic before back in the early days of my hosting of the podcast, but it's just fun, these deep dives I go on sometimes, talk about the mid-90s and early 90s, a time that I was a teenager and starting to watch this team, and I know that maybe some of you guys remember that time, and just a lot of fascinating characters rolling through the Pistons world, even though it wasn't great times, obviously, with the Grant Hill era there. And then just kind of a weird time for basketball. But it's my childhood and it's my show, so that's what we're going to talk about here. But we're also going to open the Reddit mailbag, part one. We'll rifle through a few of the responses, which were great from you guys. Really appreciate the participation in that. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out there. And also Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a like on that page. But Ben Wallace is a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame as announced during All-Star Weekend. I saw the headline like you guys did last week, and also the Pistons publicized it too, that former player Ben Wallace made the list of 13 finalists, and also that Chris Webber, another former Pistons player, made it. And if you're a Pistons fan, you remember, of course, that Webber played for Detroit for one season. But people around the league, or people, fans, are, you know, reacted to it saying, I forgot that Webber was on that team. And the way that I think about it is Chris Webber is a member of the Tracy McGrady All-Stars, as great players who were on the Pistons at the end of their career. And we'll talk about that whole group. I came up with a 12-man team of the Tracy McGrady All-Stars that we'll have. I also have a starting lineup too. But more importantly for our purposes and also for Pistons lore purposes, Ben Wallace is a first-time finalist, one of 13, one of four first-timers to be a finalist for the group, joining Jack Sikma, former Milwaukee Buck and Seattle Star coach Paul Westfall, and also UCLA superstar Marquise Johnson, who made an all-star game or two in the league as well, maybe more than that, but obviously before my time. But I know he was an all-star at some point. But Chris Webber, the former Piston and Detroiter, is a second-time finalist. He was also a finalist last year when Jason Kidd and Steve Nash and former Piston Grant Hill made the team there. But if you have to keep in mind when talking about these things that the Basketball Hall of Fame is your entire career. It's not just the NBA Hall of Fame or something like that. So they take into account your college career. They take into account any other contributions that you've had for the game. And when you look at Chris Webber, we know that growing up in Detroit, not only just the Fab Five and the Michigan stuff, the 2 years that he took the Wolverines to the finals of the NCAA tournament. I know that gets erased from history, I guess, in a literal sense when it comes to the NCAA records because of the violations. But the cultural touchstone that the Fab Five was, we know how significant they were in a cultural sense there in their early 90s, and also Chris Webber being the great player that he was, the first pick of the draft by the Orlando Magic before being traded to the Golden State Warriors, and then quickly into his career traded to the Washington Bullets, and then ending up over in Sacramento in short order. But as we know, ended up with the Pistons as well. But yeah, I mean, even the being the number one high schooler in the country at a time when those kind of things were starting to get talked about in a national sense for maybe the first time. I know that there were one-offs even in the 80s. I mean, you heard about probably the high school career of Kareem Abdul, or I guess Lew Alcindor back in the day. I know he was in New York City kind of becoming a big, you know, whispering around the country of how good this kid from New York was going to be. And then moving on to players like Magic Johnson and Lansing Everett and then guys that kind of developed lore, as you will, in the 80s. But I mean, as far as like recruiting services and the AAU scene that was kind of developing at that time, I think Chris Webber was one of those first guys that was a monster teenager that people were talking about. You know, what school is he going to go to for high school? Because he grew up in the city of Detroit and then ended up going to Country Day as opposed to going to a public school league team there. So there's a lot of layers there with the Chris Webber candidacy. And obviously, if you're just a Pistons fan, you might be a little bit questioning that because he played late in his career after some knee injuries and whatnot. But they're going to announce the players who made the Final Four made the Hall of Fame at the Final Four. So during Final Four weekend, they will make those proclamations there. And of course, Pistons fans, we get greedy. Our question is, what's up with Rip and Chauncey? Where's Rip Hamilton? Where's Chauncey Billups? I would put Chauncey a little bit higher on the pecking order than Rip. But then again, Rip had the big shot for UConn in the NCAA tournament run, which they ended up winning the tournament there that year. So maybe he gets a little bit more points for college there. Ben, Rip, and Chauncey were all eligible for the Hall of Fame last year, but none of the three became a finalist. And Rip and Chauncey were discarded before the finalists were announced at All-Star Weekend, while Ben was elevated to finalist status. So I guess Ben had a good year. Maybe he had a better year this past year than Rip and Chauncey. But, you know, Hall of Fames are stupid. Whoever decides these things are dumb. We know that. But I do like that Ben Wallace is on it. Was kind of the, not kind of, he was the soul of that Pistons team. Although, you know, Chauncey was kind of the leader of that team in a literal leading point guard kind of sense. Just the way that Ben Wallace played embodied that group. I'm not breaking any ground by telling you guys that. Kind of the face and soul of that, you know, mini dynasty that the Pistons had back then. Not a dynasty in the literal sense of the word, but to be that good for that long and to be the guy who embodied what the spirit of that team was all about is obviously a huge accomplishment that all of us here as Pistons fans in the city of Detroit are happy for Ben and hopeful that Ben gets the call on Final Four weekend that he'll be heading to Springfield, Massachusetts in short order. And he is now the owner or part owner of the Grand Rapids Drive, the Pistons NBA G League team. So we will see how that works out for him on Hall of Fame weekend. It would be nice to see him get on there. And hopefully some point this year, the calendar year 2019, we'll get Ben Wallace as a guest on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We had Mason, which, by the way, you should listen to that two-part interview from Tuesday and Wednesday's podcast. We have had George Blaha. We've had Larry Brown. As far as the old school group, Ben Wallace might be at the top of my new list of bucket list gets. Obviously, we'd be nice to get a sit down, you know, take the gloves off interview with Blake Griffin at some point. Not that we are beating up Blake Griffin on this show or anything like that, but just kind of get behind the cliche questions with Blake Griffin at some point. We've played the interview scrum sound bites from the locker room before here on the show, but it'd be nice to get some one on one time with him. So that's kind of what our list is like. Shoot me a text or a voicemail on the Google voice line at 810-666-1546. Let me know who you think would be like kind of the bucket list guest for 2019 this year. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas is always on that list too. And Joe Dumars. If anyone ever knows what's up with Joe Dumars this year, he's kind of been in the shadows these last several years and would like to see him surface and come back and join us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to talk about the Tracy McGrady All-Stars, one of those segments when I go into some 1990s deep dives that I know there's a segment of listeners that you guys really like that if you're like me. But anyway, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device, if you got one, to play podcast Locked On Pistons. The newest episode will come up. That's the new way we're trying to reach you in your cars, on your ride, on your way to wherever you're going throughout your day. But we also have an important favor to ask you. We would like your help. We've put together a survey so you can learn more about listeners like you. We can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better, if that's possible. That disclaimer there. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, but by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. So you win just for trying or something like that. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback. Yes, sir! All right, a little bit later on, we're going to open up the Pistons mailbag from Reddit. Appreciate you guys participating in that. But wanted to talk about the Tracy McGrady All-Stars, the end of the career guys for the Detroit Pistons. And not the weird one-off season in the middle of their career circumstances. I'm not talking about Allen Houston being drafted by the team and only playing a couple seasons, or Sean Elliott, who played a year in the middle of his career when he was still kind of at his prime, although he stepped up when he went back to the Spurs and became an impact player. Oliver Miller was a guy that you might consider, but he's in that in the beginning of his career and still played several years after. Joe Smith is another guy, too, mid-career, that he was on the Pistons and still had some good seasons after leaving Detroit. So the Tracy McGrady All-Stars are guys that randomly played with the Pistons towards the end of their career. Obviously, thoughts of this spurred up with Chris Webber being a finalist for the Hall of Fame. So Chris Webber, to me, is a starter, no doubt, on this team. We're going to come up with five starters and also the bench. And there's just three names that are the real obvious ones that fans right now will easily come up with as iconic players who spent the last year of their career or so, you know, towards the end of their career. It doesn't have to be the last year of their career, but kind of a sad time in their career that they were Pistons. And obviously, like I said, Chris Webber's one of them. He starts in the front court. We're going to put Tracy McGrady there. The team is named after him, of course. So he's on the wing. He's a starter on that team. Everything you'd want out of a Tracy McGrady All-Star, with a great career, a Hall of Fame career, an outstanding player who was a very sad Detroit Piston towards the end of his career. And the guy that runs the show for this team is Allen Iverson. He's obviously the lead guard on this group. Who else would it be? So we need another guard in that starting unit, maybe an Eric Snow type of point guard, or maybe you put the ball in Iverson's hands and look for an off guard. And like I said, we've already got Tracy McGrady on the wing, Chris Webber at power forward, although maybe we get a little lenient and put Webber at center. So we got some things to consider there when coming up with our two starters, other starters, with those three guys. But we'll start with the bench. We'll leave this little suspense for those starters. Some guys that had solid careers, and obviously these guys aren't Hall of Famers. I don't think any of them are on the bench. But guys who may have made an All-Star game, but certainly were significant players in the NBA and ended their career, or towards the end of their career, had kind of some maybe embarrassing runs with the Pistons. Although I'm looking at a couple of guys that certainly weren't embarrassing. They actually had good stretches for the Pistons. And maybe we'll start with those guys, as guys who were proud to call former Pistons, who were real good players even before they got here, and then played well for the Detroit Pistons. And one of those is Dale Davis, who was kind of the after 04 championship era, but tried to keep the Pistons up near that level, probably played in at least one of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Pistons, started at times as a five-man for that group. He played with Sheed and them, I know, because I saw those guys together, Dale and Sheed, at a gentleman's club in Cleveland. So, but I don't think that, you know, that crescendo of his career was good enough to make it as a starter for this team. And like I said, he doesn't quite qualify for this group because it wasn't really a sad time for his Pistons stretch. And another guy who probably doesn't even belong on this list because he was pretty good as a Piston, a little bit, definitely too good to be a starter on this team. And he was part of a fun team and fun era that brought the Pistons back to life, and that's Cliffy Robb. Clifford Robinson knocked down some threes, wore the headband, and was just a solid player for the Pistons. And like I said, played for that group with Carlisle that got the Pistons back to prominence. But back to some of these guys that maybe fit the actually, I'll throw one more in this group of bench players that played well for the Pistons and wasn't sad. So Otis Thorpe is also on that group. Again, too much near his prime and was really good, you know, for the Pistons during that era that he was playing there in the 90s. So probably doesn't qualify. But here's some guys who are pretty solid on that list of real good players who were just kind of sad in their time with the Pistons. Cedric Sabalas is the first one. We mentioned him on Friday as a guy who won the dunk contest and then later played on the Pistons. He was fat, Cedric, by then, and wasn't doing anything positive on the court really at that time. Kenny Smith was another guy that we mentioned on Friday as a guy who was a dunk contest participant, but did play for the Pistons. It wasn't his last run in the NBA, but in 96-97, he played 9 games for the Pistons. I like reminding you guys about that one. And then was rumored to be up for the coaching position this past summer, or was it the front office position? I don't know, but either way, it was weird to have Kenny Smith mentioned in that group. Another one that surprises some people when they remember that Danny Manning was a member of the Detroit Pistons, won the national championship at Kansas, and had a really strong NBA career with the LA Clippers individually, although it was during a stretch where the Clippers were the Clippers. Back then, the pre-Blake Griffin era, when he kind of grab that team out of the doldrums. But Danny Manning, I believe, still coaching at Wake Forest, as far as I know, is the head coach for the Demon Deacons. I'm not as big of a college basketball guy these days as some of you guys, other than my coverage of Michigan and Michigan State. But I'm pretty sure Danny Manning's still the coach at Wake Forest. Moving on down this list, a guy who was a really high draft pick and played some good seasons for the Golden State Warriors and had a promising start to his NBA career but never really turned into a great player, but a guy who played 45 games for the Pistons at the end of his career is Billy Owens, who I believe was a Syracuse player as well. So Billy Owens is a forgotten guy that had some run for the Pistons too. And then the Big O, Orlando Woolridge, had a nice career, including with the Lakers. And he was probably, you know, a little bit better of a Piston than maybe some of the guys on this list. Post-Bad Boys era kind of came on as a guy who could have breathed some life into that group. And I believe Orlando passed away over these last few years too. So rest in peace to the Big O. But as I'm looking at this list, as we kind of take a sidebar from the list, as we'll get into the other two starters here in a couple minutes, this is my Basketball Reference deep dive that I know some of you guys out there appreciate. But a lot of good power forwards, and especially in the 1990s. And that's kind of what I look at in this list. I know that Woolridge doesn't quite qualify for the 90s, but a lot of 1990s basketball, when I think about it and when I look back on it, is just all those good, talented power forwards. And we know that Joe Smith, and here's something I came up with, and I'll definitely tweet this one out because I was proud of myself for seeing the stat that I had never seen anywhere else. Joe Smith, the first pick of the 1995 draft, then became a Piston later on in his career. Then you have, and all these guys, a lot of these guys are power forwards too, is kind of both of my themes kind of run into each other here. Antonio McDyess was the second pick of that draft out of Alabama, I believe, and another former Piston there. The third pick of the draft was Jerry Stackhouse, a former Piston, not in my power forward motif. He was more of a small forward, but they, you know, top three picks, all Pistons in 1995. And then the fourth guy in that draft, and two more power forwards for fourth and fifth, the fourth pick of that draft was Rasheed Wallace. The top four players from the 1995 draft later became Pistons, and none of them were actually drafted on that night by the Pistons. Like I said, I'm definitely tweeting that out. I'm proud of myself for figuring out that stat. The fifth pick in the draft that year was the guy that you would have wanted out of that group, and that was out of high school, Chicago Farragut, which was Kevin Garnett. So it would have been nice to have the entire top five as member of the Pistons at some point. But I remember back then I wanted the Pistons to trade for Garnett to keep the going to work era going. And the Boston Celtics were the one that pulled the trigger on that deal instead. And the Pistons kind of slowly fell from prominence during that group. But it was 1995, interesting draft. I wanted to bring up what the Pistons actually did that night, as opposed to the players that they'd get from that draft later on. But that year, this was after Grant's first season with the Pistons, Grant Hill. The Pistons had the eighth pick, but traded down before the draft of the eighth pick. And that eighth pick eventually became Sean Respert. And what they got for that pick was a package of three picks, which was number 18 in the first round, number 19 in the first round, and also a second round pick. So they loaded up on talent that year instead of going with a Sean Respert type of player at number eight. The second round pick that they acquired became Don Reed out of Georgetown, had some solid seasons with the Pistons in the front court. And in the second round, the Pistons, with their own pick that they already had, took Lou Rowe out of UMass, who really never did anything with the Pistons. He was a talented scorer in college with some good teams with Marcus Camby there. But so with 18 and 19 that year, the Pistons ended up drafting, of course, two guys. They took at 18 Theo Ratliff, who had a nice career, ended up mostly with Allen Iverson out of Philly, but had some good seasons with the Pistons as well. And with number 19, the Pistons drafted Randolph Childress, who the Pistons traded even before he suited up for Detroit that year. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you're like me, you're thinking, wait a minute, I remember that Childress played at the Pistons, so Matt must be wrong. Well, here's what happened. The Pistons traded Randolph Childress to Portland before he suited up for the Pistons, along with Billy Curley, for Otis Thorpe. So then Childress ended up playing with Portland. Then, and in his second year, started the season with Portland as well. But during that second year, got traded back to the Pistons, along with Aaron McKee and some guy named Reggie Jordan, for Stacey Augmon. So the Plastic Man went to Portland, and it was the end of the Stacey Augmon era in Detroit. Now, Childress ended up playing those four games for Detroit. Those are the ones I remember. That's how weird of a person I am. He ended up scoring 10 points in 30 minutes, during his Piston career and was never to be seen again in the NBA playing those four games as a 24-year-old in 1997. What the hell happened to Randolph Childress? Where's he at? The dude killed it in the ACC tournament, I remember, for Wake Forest. I think he had a famous like step back and someone fell down, like a famous highlight that Childress had for Wake Forest. But I think he overlapped with Tim Duncan a couple years as well, because Duncan was drafted in 97, and so he must have, you know, overlapped a couple years with Timmy D in Wake there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But here, the dramatic, I know some of you guys are probably bored to tears, but this is my deep dive on Basketball Reference. I know some of you guys love this stuff. So the other starters for the Tracy McGrady All-Stars, I'm going to put a Detroiter as one of them. Derek Coleman, DC, Detroit's own, who had a little bit of a checkered past, I guess we could say. But just like Weber, he came back and played for the Pistons at the very end of his career, one season, and played five games for the Detroit Pistons. To me, it seemed like there was more than that. But apparently, he played just five games for Detroit in 2004, 2005. And I guess that was the, you know, after the 04 team. So the year after the 04 team, Derek Coleman came in, and maybe he was going to be the spark that brought him back, but didn't really work out for Detroit. Maybe I'll look into that some more. Maybe we'll try to get DC on the show about what happened there in 05. I can't remember the specifics of why Derek Coleman got on the team and then why he only lasted five games, or maybe it was an injury or something like that. But the last member, we'll put DC on the front court with Weber and McGrady to start. And joining Allen Iverson in the backcourt for the Tracy McGrady All-Stars for the Pistons is Corey Maggette. Corey Maggette is a guy who I believe made an All-Star team maybe with the Los Angeles Clippers. After the break, I'll explore whether I'm right about that. But he played 18 games in his final season for Detroit. And we know about Corey Maggette in the news lately. Not good news for him. So that's all we'll say about Corey Maggette today. Now, if you're a new listener to the show, every once in a while, I'll just go on some deep dives on Basketball Reference and just throw around some things that I found notable and interesting about Detroit Pistons past. And of course, I cut into already a lot of the time that I was going to spend on the Pistons Reddit mailbag. But hey, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to open up the Pistons mailbag from Reddit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Well, we rambled a bit today, if you can believe that. So here's what I'm thinking. Maybe we'll keep the Reddit mailbag going. We'll start it today and just grab one at the end of the show for each day for the foreseeable future. Nothing like stretching that content out. That's the kind of thing you do when you have a daily podcast about a team that probably doesn't warrant all the discussion about them, especially in their current iteration. But anyways, for the record, wanted to correct myself and say that Corey Maggette did not make an All-Star team, despite scoring over 20 points a game in three separate seasons for the Clippers. But a tough Western Conference and a sad sack Clippers team back then makes sense that he didn't get in there. Don't know why that I thought he did, but there you go there. But let's start with the Reddit mailbag. Actually, we're going to start with a Twitter DM I got fairly recently, since I thought it was a good question, and I told the listener that I'd fold it into the mailbag. So like I said, we'll probably handle, you know, one or so a day going forward towards the end of the show. Some really interesting ones, some stuff I want to jump into, some draft stuff, etc. But this one comes from Bradley from Northville. He asks, what are some realistic yet high upside young NBA free agents the Pistons could target after letting go of Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock? It's a good question. Some high upside guys that might need a chance, something like that. So kind of what Glenn Robinson III was supposed to be for this team coming into this season. But first off, before I get to the meat of the question, I wanted to pass along that the Pistons are currently looking at another player. This report came from All-Star Weekend from Keith Pompey, the 76ers writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and more importantly, the host of the Locked On Sixers podcast. He reports that the Pistons were among three teams, including the Raptors and Rockets also, who were looking at a workout of a former number two pick in the draft in 2009 by Memphis. The guy played 68 games as a rookie, started 13 of them, was not looking like a complete bust at first, But that quickly changed after his strong career at UConn. And of course, we're talking about the big man, Hashim Thabeet. Thabeet got beat. How about that? By MSU at in the Final Four in Detroit in his final college game. I remember that. I was watching after going to their the free concert that they had at Hart Plaza before the semifinals. The concert featured, here's an eclectic group for you, Gavin DeGraw. Now, maybe it wasn't Gavin DeGraw. It was like someone like Gavin DeGraw. I think it was, but, you know, there's those acoustic dreamy voice guys of that era, so maybe it was someone else. But my highlight of the afternoon was Keith Sweat. I was there to see Keith Sweat with some friends. And then the main event was the Pussycat Dolls. So what a weird lineup that was. Thabeet ended up playing with Memphis, who he was drafted by, and then the Rockets, and Portland and Oklahoma City. He was last seen by American basketball fans in 2014 with your Grand Rapids Drive. He also played in 2017 in Japan and the Philippines. So we will see if anything comes out of that. Certainly not a name that should get Pistons fans excited by any means, but a little bit of a trip down memory lane and some nostalgia there, and who knows? Maybe the big man's got something left in the tank at 31. But that wasn't Bradley's question. Now, with the Pistons, first of all, with free agency, it's all open, right? I mean, they need depth help on the front court, especially if Zaza walks after his unrestricted free agency, so you need a backup five there. The point guards that are free agents are Jose Calderon and Ish Smith, so you need help there. Maybe even a starting point guard if you want to start relegating Reggie to the bench next year. And now, of course, you also have perpetual need on the wing. You got Luke Kennard, Langston Galloway, and then Bruce, Kyrie, and Svi all coming back next season. Glenn likely gone with the team option for next year. So you need help at the small forward, kind of that big wing position. But any wing will help this team, as that's a pretty sorry group of guys on the wing, as we know. So here's some names for free agency this year. How about Kawhi Leonard? Just kidding, obviously. You have to find the bargain guys if you're the Pistons. You're talking about the mid-level exception and also the biannual exemption there and maybe whatever's left on the salary cap, which won't be much. But I'll give you a point guard name I like, a wing name I like, and a big name that I like from the scrap people. Start with point guard. Looking at a buy-low type that could back up Reggie and maybe even pass him, and then possibly even a point guard of the future. Although, to be honest, I'd rather draft a point guard in the first round next year and hope he can be the guy going forward. But if you go to point guard and want to devote your free agency resources to that, how about Elfrid Payton? He starts for the New Orleans Pelicans when he's healthy. But he's always been pretty steady running a team. He turns 25 on Friday, by the way, so happy birthday to Elfrid. He's really improved the three-point shooting over his career. I don't watch a lot of New Orleans Pelicans games, but it seems like he hasn't been the problem, I guess is a good way of putting it, for them going forward. Just kind of a mess situation, but maybe a guy who can take advantage of an opportunity to get some minutes in Detroit and could be a guy who helped. I think he'd be a guy to look at for them. On the wing, maybe if you would devote most of your resources, you could get a guy like this, you know, more of a veteran than maybe Bradley was talking about in his question, but a good shooter, scores a bunch, could be a guy who thrives if given some more minutes that the Pistons might be able to give him. And that's Terrence Ross. He's an unrestricted free agent with the Magic now. I think he could fit in. And how about for a big, someone who replaces the Zaza role going forward? Although I'm not ruling out that they, you know, maybe could possibly re-up with Zaza. I think the team has been pleased with him. But maybe to add some toughness, the guy who's gotten some buzz around Pistons Twitter lately in the Andre Drummond discussion, and that is Ed Davis. Now, he's not young anymore. He's 29 now. But a very good rebounder, almost an elite rebounder, really, and can score some around the basket. Not going to do much for you other than rebound and play some defense. But 17 rebounds per game or per 36 minutes, which is second best in the NBA, and also second in the league in rebounding percentage, too, better than Andre Drummond, who was third in rebounding percentage, although we know Drummond leads the league in the counting numbers. But it'd be nice to play a good rebounder next to Thon if you have Thon out there in a reserve bench unit. We know Thon doesn't really rebound. So he's been a real contributor, Ed Davis has, for a Brooklyn team that has turned heads this year. So thanks to Bradley from Northville for the question. I hope Bradley saw a lot of horse races in his day in Northville Downs there. But like I said, we'll come up with the Reddit mailbag questions towards the end of every show. And just spend a lot of time with that deep dive today and maybe didn't get to as many as I thought that I would. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We got actually some real basketball to talk about tomorrow, as the Pistons will be in action in Atlanta on Friday night. We're going to preview that one, get to some more Reddit questions as well. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you spreading the word, and appreciate all the questions that you've sent along. We will talk to you guys tomorrow, so have a good one.